What kind of God do you tell the world about? The one who hates sin or the one who loves sinners? Today on Destined for Victory, Pastor Paul Shepherd gives us a beautiful picture of God's character. But before we get started, Pastor Paul has joined me in the studio to share a special word of encouragement with all of us. And just before you come, Pastor Paul, you know, summer is finally here, a time when most of us take a little break and enjoy some vacation time and get some quiet time away. But for ministries like Destined for Victory, there isn't any downtime, is there?
No, there isn't, Wayne. We're always producing messages and making them available across the country and around the world. So the bottom line is, we never stop. Destined for Victory is truly a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week ministry. And that's why I wanted to take a moment and ask each of our listeners to be faithful in giving to Destined for Victory this summer. God has blessed us, and I'm completely humbled by how He's using this media ministry to help build His kingdom. But the fact is, we simply can't do it without those of you who support us financially. Therefore, would you consider giving your best gift right now to help us get through the challenging months ahead? Your generous support will not only help make up for those who may forget us this summer, but it'll also ensure that we continue bringing these timely messages your way. If you'll give a generous gift of $25 or more this month, I'll send you a special DVD that I know will bless your soul. In a moment, Wayne will share the details. But first, let me say a heartfelt thank you. Thanks for your generosity and your partnership. It's needed now more than ever. And I want you to know that I'm praying that God's blessings be yours in abundance. Wayne?
Thanks for sharing those encouraging words, Pastor Paul. And I'm excited about this month's special offer, folks. In appreciation of your best gift of $25 or more this month, we'll be happy to send you by request Pastor Paul Shepherd's DVD, Blessings You Don't See Coming. In this two-part video sermon, you'll learn the importance of prioritizing God's kingdom, practicing wisdom and humility, and proceeding with your life despite unfulfilled desires. It's based on the story of the Shunammite woman who showed grace and kindness to the prophet Elisha. Blessings You Don't See Coming is one of Pastor Paul's most powerful and popular messages, and it's our pleasure to share it with you by request for your most generous gift of $25 or more. Please call 855-339-5500 or send your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. You can also give safely and securely online at PastorPaul.net. That's PastorPaul.net.
We serve a God who, when we have disobeyed and when we have dishonored and when we have squandered and when we have made poor decisions and when we have gone astray, God sees the heart of repentance and His response is to run to us. That's the God you're supposed to tell your world about.
That's the kind of God to whom the world will respond, and that's the kind of God we serve. Today, Pastor Paul Shepherd takes us once again to the story of the prodigal son. At one time or another, we've all taken a wrong turn. We've all gotten lost. But no matter how far we've gone, no matter how many mistakes we've made, it's never too late to run towards the safe arms of a loving Father. In fact, we don't even have to make it all the way there, because when He sees us coming, He'll run to us. Here's Pastor Paul with his message, Love Covers.
We called the priest the good news. Good news sign says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that if you will just turn toward Him in repentance, He will forgive your sin. He will bless your life. He will give you newness. The Father shows us that while we're walking toward God, He's running toward us. When He gets to Him, He throws His arms around Him. He kisses Him. Talk about PDA, public displays of affection. The Father just lavishes His love on His Son. What a different picture of God Jesus paints than religious people paint. Religious people show you a God who's so holy, he can't stand you. But the Bible shows us a God who is so holy that he knew our unrighteousness would never stand in his presence. So he wrapped himself up in flesh, came into the world, drank a full cup of human experience, yet without sin, so that he could be the spotless lamb. And he went to a cross. He allowed people he was dying for to crucify him, to torture him all night, to within an inch of his life. And he hung on a cross for your sins and mine, so that the sin question was taken care of. And when he sees you now, he doesn't see you through your sinful flesh. He sees you through the Son of God, and he can embrace you and love you. That's who God is. God is a lover. He's not a hater. He's a lover. Jesus came not that the world would be condemned. He came so we would not be condemned. The Father covered him with affection, threw his arms around him, kissed him. He didn't have to hear the speech. He saw the boy's bowed down head. He saw his demeanor. You know your kids. And he knew this boy got it. He wasn't coming back stiff and proud. What's up? That would have been a whole different ball game, wouldn't it? You walking back to his house and you see your father just look at him and say, "What's up, man?" He knew this boy was broken. He knew that I've got to cover him. I've got to pick him up. The Bible says about restoration. It says when one is overtaken, you who are spiritual, restore. Restore. You play the active role. You don't ask them to play the active role. They're dejected. They're broken. You pick them. You gather them up. And the Father showed us what that looks like. But the boy started in. He wanted to be on the record. "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." He never did get to the "make me a hired servant" sentence. By the time he got to the end of the second sentence, "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son," the Father has shifted his attention. And he says, "Quick," to his servants. He says, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him." Best robe? Boy just squandered $1 million and you want to put a best robe on him? That any God you ever heard about from religious folk? Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. I want him to be able to walk with dignity and comfort. Put sandals on him. Put a ring on his finger. That's not ornamental. It means give him a credit card. That's what it was in Bible days. Squander $1 million and you get a credit card, a good robe, and good sandals. Then the Father said, "Bring the fattened calf. Kill it. Time to partay." What's all that about? That shows you the heart of God toward you and me and everybody who comes to the end of himself or herself, realizing I've been wrong, but I need to be right, and I'm going back to the place of yes, so my Father can have his way in my life. Now, there are several lessons we need to get out of that. First of all, we need to realize that's God's heart toward all of us. And no matter where you are in your life, no matter what mistakes you've made, no matter what you're doing wrong, no matter how things have gone in the wrong direction in your life, God says, "My way is the only way for my children." You know, we grew up, many of us were blessed to have parents who made sure you understood that you couldn't have your way and prosper in their house. You're not going to live here and have your way too. So they would tell you, "Now, if you want to do your thing, you're going to have to get another address." I know that doesn't happen now. I know that doesn't happen now. I realize now people say to about a 15-year-old and a 14-year-old, and I can't do a thing with them. I understand that's the day we live in. That's because you don't talk to enough old folk. There's some wisdom that the prior generations can teach you. There's no such thing. Your grandmother never dreamed of uttering the words, I can't do a thing with my child. Your grandmother never crossed her mind. We had a little scrawny lady in our church in Philadelphia, rail of a woman. And two of her boys got up big and strong and tall. And when they got out that age and they start running with hoodlums and came in the house and they were being disrespectful, she said, one day I looked at one of them, came in the house and said the wrong thing to me. She said, I looked up to him and said, boy, let me tell you something. The longest day you live, I will be your mother. And as long as you live in this house, you will not act like that. You will not speak like that. She said, and if I have to, I know you big, but I will climb a ladder and knock you upside your head. Oh, that's the folk I grew up around. They didn't play for real. They didn't play. She said, I will climb if I have to. And the fact of the matter is, good parenting says you can't prosper in disobedience. You can't be disobedient and get a cell phone. That bring it up to 21st century. You can't be disobedient and get Nikes. It just can't happen. I will move everything out your room. There'll be nothing but a cot on a floor. Oh, but that's abuse because they need a sense of their own importance. Please, I know a parent who took the door off of... You talk about sense of importance. Took the door off, said, I can't trust you behind closed doors, so I'm removing the door. So when I walk by, I see what's going on. And when you show me some respect and some repentance and some trust, I'll think about putting that door back on. So you who are saying you can't do a thing, I got several folk. I might start a can't do a thing ministry. Just stop. Can't do a thing ministry. You sign up. Get one-on-one tutoring. Saints will go in your house with you if they have to. Your old child in there fuming and fussing and rolling their eyes. Saints won't care about them at all. How you doing? They'll take the door right off with you. Where am I in this message? All right.
You're listening to Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd, and we will get back to the rest of today's message in just a moment. Remember, Destined for Victory is a listener-supported ministry, one that depends on your prayers and financial support to reach the world for Christ. And you can give right now by calling 855-339-5500. Again, 855-339-5500. Or make a safe and secure donation online at PastorPaul.net. And when you log on, be sure to check out our online store for a wide range of special resources, including books and teaching series from Pastor Paul. You'll also find information about how you can become a partner for as little as $20 a month with this ministry. Again, that's PastorPaul.net, your online home for Destined for Victory. Now, here's Pastor Paul with the rest of today's message, Love Covers.
So we have to learn God's attitude toward us. We also have to learn our attitude toward each other. Because when you see stories of forgiveness and restoration in Scripture, God says not only do you experience that from Him, but you have to give that to others. See, that's where Christians go wrong. We want to have a different brand of love than God has. But we belong to Him. We're not our own. You got to learn to love other people. Who's done you wrong, but they have repented? Who has made mistakes in your life, but they have repented? Who has taken your resources and squandered them, but they have repented? Who has dishonored you, but they have repented? Sometimes we think we're being holy, saying, well, I forgive them. But when we look at your attitude and your actions and your behavior, we don't see what this story shows us. There's a story of a man who had a pet dog, loved his dog. We who are dog people, we know what that's like. If you're a dog person, some of y'all, I realize, are cat people and stuff like that. You know, y'all don't get the full revelation. Nothing like a dog. Nothing like a dog. I've never in my life seen a cat that can do a dog imitation when it comes to love and affection. And just a dog just lives to be part of your family and just there. Just, I mean, talking about the good dogs. These folk go get these mean dogs from Africa somewhere and just, they want something as mean as possible. I'm talking about those good dogs that just what we gonna do next. They just looking, just always just wait for you to come home. Just always, here you finally here. Hear the car pull up. They get happy. They in there praising God just cause your car pulled up. Most of my life I've had a dog and I love dogs. This man had one of those good dogs. But he also had a large exotic bird. But he had to keep the dog separated from the bird. So he'd keep the bird in its own room so as to not have to always cage it up and let it kind of fly around or what have you. And it had its own place, and he always kept the dog separate. And so the dog just loved on him, and they had their usual dog-master relationship, and it was going well. One day the phone rang, and he had just been in the room with the bird, and he ran out of the room and left the door open. So while he's on the phone, the dog sees he's gone. Know that bird's in there. He runs in there. While the man's on the phone, he hears the bird shriek. Hold on a sec. Put the phone down, runs in to see the bird in the dog's mouth. Put him down. Put him down right now. Let him go, but it's too late. He had already killed the bird. Man picked up the bird and fussed at the dog. Get out of here. I don't want to see you. Dog ran to another part of the house. Man had to bury this prize exotic bird. But he kept some of the feathers. Brought something to illustrate. He kept some of the feathers. It's what you call an illustrated sermon. Kept some of the feathers. Not my dog or bird, by the way. Have never owned a bird. Kept some of them just to memorialize this bird that he loved. And he was so angry with the dog. So angry with the dog. And for days and days, the dog would try to come do their usual fellowship and hanging out and let's go outside and play fetch. Let's do all that we do. And the dog would, every day, would come see the master and run to him. But the master would say, get out of here. Make me sick. Kill my bird. Here's what the master is saying. Show me the first slide. You are guilty of killing my bird, so I will punish you with my attitude and actions. And I'm going to use these feathers to remind you of what you did. So after a while, the man didn't even have to fuss a whole lot. The dog would come in the room, the man would just grab the feathers. And the dog would be humiliated and hang his head and walk away. Because that meant, you killed my bird. I'm going to punish you with my actions, with my attitude. And if you ever try to forget, I got these feathers. Do you know that's what we can do as Christians? People who have been saved, who have been set free from sins past, present, and future. See, one of the things Christians got to realize is you need to acknowledge sin isn't just in your past. You got stuff right now in your life that ain't right. Oh, it might not be in the top 10, might not make any headlines, but a holy God who knows you intimately. Don't you think for a moment you are standing in God's grace on the basis of your righteousness. You drop a quick lie as soon as you have to. You take something that doesn't belong to you and rationalize. You have a bad attitude. You have anger and hatred in your heart. you backbite and you sow discord and you cause family trouble and you do all kinds of things, but the blood of Jesus covers it. Because when Jesus paid, he paid past, present, and future. And we who have sinned, are sinning, and will sin, have the nerve to look at somebody else in our life and say, you did whatever it is, and I'm going to punish you with my actions and attitude. And if you ever try to forget, got my own feathers. Well, here's what forgiveness does. Once you've repented, now see, that's what you want to look for. In any guilty party, you want to look for repentance. I can't bestow upon you grace until you acknowledge you need it. You don't forgive people who don't want it. You have a forgiving attitude in your heart, meaning you settle it on the inside of you. But never go to a guilty person who has not repented and ask for forgiveness and say to you, I forgive you. Never forgive a person who hasn't asked for it to them. Have the attitude of forgiveness in your heart so you're ready to give it. But Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. I can't give you the gift of forgiveness because you haven't repented. But when a person has repented, acknowledged their wrongdoing, humbled themselves, have genuine remorse, here's what forgiveness does. It wipes out the you are guilty of killing my bird. And it replaces it with, I forgive you for killing my bird. Notice, killing the bird is still there. When you've been wrong, you can never unwrong what happened. It will always be wrong. And that's the problem. A lot of people don't practice forgiveness because they think they are denying the wrongdoing. Not at all. If you hadn't done wrong, there'd be no need to be forgiven. The wrong is always there. The only thing you can do is cover it with forgiveness. That's what God said in Isaiah 43:25. He said, I am he who blots out your transgressions. The transgressions are there. The only thing I can do, God says, is blot them out. So you replace you're guilty of killing my bird with I forgive you for killing my bird. And then some Christians even say, I forgive you. But have you ever seen somebody say they forgive you in their attitude, their actions, their demeanor, their behavior? Everything shows that they haven't forgiven you. So here's the next part of forgiveness. The old statement was, I'll punish you with my attitude and actions. The new one is, I will not punish you with my attitude and actions. You've got to change, just like a sinner has to repent by changing his mind and direction. You who are a forgiver, you have to decide to forgive, change my mind about how I'm going to respond to the offense, and I've got to change my direction. You have to forfeit the right to punish the transgressor. And that should be easy because God in Christ forfeited the right to punish you of yours.
Thanks so much for being here for today's Destined for Victory message, Love Covers. If you'd like more information about the Destined for Victory ministry, including this month's special offer of Pastor Paul Shepherd's DVD, Blessings You Don't See Coming, call 855-339-5500. That's 855-339-5500. Or visit us online at pastorpaul.net. This special offer ends tomorrow, so give your best gift today. He never left his father's house. He stayed. He served. He was never a prodigal son, but in many ways, his problems ran much deeper.
The older son's attitude represents too many church folk who have a performance theology, who think people in the kingdom got saved despite their inability to earn righteousness, but after getting saved, they have to earn it. That is as unbiblical a position as you could take. But churches are very comfortable taking it.
That's next time in Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, Refusing to Attend God's Party. Until then, remember, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.